Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Dusty White of Cormdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. And every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're asking the question, what is your metaphor for life? Chris, it's good to be back. I was sick last time with the flu.
We missed your intro and outro.
Thank you.
Dusty gave it a good shot.
Okay. Yeah.
Except for that one where you just kind of, and we'll see you later. Bye.
Yeah. And we're done. That's harder than I thought, actually.
What Mike does week in and week out is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
I've been trying to tell you guys that for months now, but I'm glad you finally realized that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're irreplaceable.
Sure. Chris, can you help us clarify what a metaphor is? I was coming into this conversation thinking a metaphor had the word like in it, but you just informed me that metaphors don't have the word like. Can you
English
explain?
Teacher,
give us some
English teacher Nazi coming through. Wait, I shouldn't use Nazi as a metaphor. That's bad.
Beep.
Simple difference. A simile compares two things using like or as. So in the words of Forrest Gump, life is like a box of chocolates. That is a simile. If I were to say life is a box of chocolates, that would be a metaphor. Fairly simple. Metaphors tend to be a little bit more complex too, but overall. Like if you do an extended metaphor where it's all kinds of description and comparison, this is getting really nerdy.
That's good. I'm gonna have my kids listen to this so they learn something.
So, but life isn't a box of chocolates.
No, it's not. So you are, that is why it is a metaphor and not a literal statement.
All right. So somebody sent in this question and asked, hey, should Christians have a metaphor for life? And so we just thought we'd throw that question out and to each other here and talk about what our metaphors for life are. So Bob's out of town today. So he mentioned that his metaphor for life is a marathon, a race. Dusty, what's your metaphor?
Yeah,
for
I
life?
Think you know he probably goes marathon, and not as opposed to a sprint. Right? You don't sprint through life; you pace yourself through life. So I think that's what he's getting at. I tend to think about life as seasons, so that's one of my metaphors, I guess, is seasons of life. One of the reasons that we actually moved back to the Midwest from California, we lived in Northern California for a while, where like winter was just rainy and kind of cold, but it never snowed. And we grew up in the Midwest, both my wife and I. So we anticipated seasons. We kind of like the seasons. That's one of my metaphors. And another metaphor that I am currently in that I use for this season of life, which is particular to parenting, is creating a spiritual heritage from scratch. And that's kind of a metaphor, I guess.
Like a baking metaphor.
Yeah, like a baking metaphor from when you're creating something from scratch. You're just taking all the ingredients and doing something brand new, something fresh and unique. And I feel that way with being a first-generation Christian. My family, my wife does not feel that way because she grew up in a Christian family. But I definitely feel like as a leader and as a dad and as a husband that these things aren't coming just natural. I have to actually intentionally figure them out. So I'm creating that from scratch.
Chris, how about you? What's your metaphor?
So I don't think I've ever thought of life in that way. Like, do I have a metaphor for life? And so, to be honest, not a conscious one. But as I was thinking through this question, which I think is a good question, the metaphor that Peter uses in his letter, 1 Peter, calling the Christians that he's writing to sojourners and exiles. In many ways, it's literal in some sense, but just this idea that in life we are sojourning through, we are exiles, and so there's a sense of restlessness that we're not home. This isn't, this life and this world are never intended to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. But what's also interesting too is if you look at the category of sojourner in Scripture, there is a sense of sojourners can, even though they're not necessarily home in a certain country or certain place, they do settle. They do stay. They do invest. They do participate in the life of where they are living. But they're always aware of the fact that they don't belong in some way. And so while there can be a flourishing in the life that is built, there's always this sense of, man, this isn't really where I belong. There's always going to be that tinge of pain, that tinge of homesickness. And so I like that idea because it both reminds us that, you know, things aren't as they should be. We're not home, but at the same time does encourage us to invest and participate in this life and not just escape or try to escape from this world.
Mike, what's one of your metaphors for life?
I mean, before this podcast started, I thought a metaphor had the word like in it. And so...
That's okay, because scripture right. does that for you.
So Psalm 1 describes this man who is... who doesn't walk in the way of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners. He says, it's verse 3, Psalm 1 says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water. And I even think of, I've got Romans 11 tattooed on my arm, where Paul is describing the family of God as a tree. And so I just love that metaphor, picture, word
simile.
Picture, simile, whatever it is. Similar to the reasons why you said seasons, because a tree goes through seasons, yet a tree may look dead, but it might be full of life. Mm-hmm. And so, and you can also tell the state of a tree by its fruit, those types of things. And so I just love those pictures, and I'm not quite sure if those are metaphors or not. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I think another one that comes to mind for me is my father-in-law is a farmer in Montana. When I think about just hard work and... I do think about farming. And when I think about spiritual work and ministry, I think about farming. And when I think about masculinity, I think about farming. You know, I don't know too many. There are a handful of female farmers, I'm sure. But like, I don't, you know, so I was, you know, a couple weeks ago teaching at this father-son retreat in Minnesota, and which was on masculinity. I actually started talking about farming because it's just natural. So, you know, and then that's... obviously backed up in 2 Timothy, where the Apostle Paul is talking about athletes and farmers and soldiers. And Mike, you mentioned Psalm 1 being planted like a tree. So back to the question of should Christians have a metaphor for life? I don't know about you guys. I'm curious what you guys think on this as when it comes to the should question. I think, you know, I'm sure some authors out there are going to say, you need a metaphor for life to get through it. I have a hard time taking a position and saying like, you have to have one, but it is helpful. Like it's definitely helpful, you know, using my metaphor of seasons, it's definitely helpful in the winter to have a metaphor for spring, right? Yeah. Like new life mm-hmm. and summer and, especially with daylight savings time and darkness mm-hmm. and, you know, all that stuff. Like it's, you know, light and darkness is biblical metaphor stuff too. So I think there's, you know, I think it's helpful. I don't know if it's absolutely necessary. Like if you don't have one, you're not going to make it kind of thing, but it's probably helpful.
I agree with you, Dusty. And I think the reason that it can be helpful is that it clarifies categories for us. And so often we can go through life sort of just in autopilot, or we're just so hectic that we don't take stock and process what's happening to us and kind of where we are in a moment or kind of where we are over a period of time. And if you have a clear metaphor, it can help you bring some perspective. And so it's a useful tool to bring clarity to, you know, I really like your seasons one. It's like, where are we right now? Well, we're in this particular season. So winter, spring is coming. And so it brings a level of perspective, and it's vivid too. It gives very concrete kind of sets my perspective of where I am and helps me move forward. And so if I'm using tree, you know, fruit, okay, very concrete image of what am I processing? What am I thinking through? Or a farmer, I'm sowing, you know, very concrete idea and concept of what I'm doing spiritually right now and what can I expect? There's a harvest is coming and that's hard work and it's off in the distance. And so if you need those kind of concrete categories to help bring perspective, to maybe give some direction or shape to how you think and respond to your circumstances and in really the way that you're living your Christian life, I think they can be super helpful.
Yeah, that farming thing keeps coming back to me. One summer, we were headed up to Montana to do harvest. And harvest is always like what every farmer waits for. You know, like there's so much hard work put in to sowing and getting dirt ready. And, you know, you're hoping that it rains. All these things that you can't control are happening. But when it comes to harvest time, you're like, yes, you know, this is go time. And it's a lot of the hardest work because weather's important. But I remember one time heading up for harvest to the farm. And interestingly enough, I was in ministry. I was younger. And I was in a really rough season of ministry, like just kind of like, I'm not sure, you know, what I should be doing with my life and just kind of, should I be doing this? Leadership's hard. I was in my early 20s during this time. And I remember my father-in-law, I got to the farm and I remember my father-in-law saying, actually, you're going to take that big tractor over there and the toolbar and you're going to work dirt. So meanwhile, we're going to take all these combines and all these trucks and all these augers, and we're going to go over to these fields and like reap the harvest. Basically, he didn't say it to me like this, but he's like, man, I'm behind on this dirt over here. So I'm glad you're here. You're going to go drive. Basically, you know, what I heard was you're going to go drive in circles in the not so sexy part of the farm while you're here for 2 weeks. And I remember thinking like, man, this is a really good leadership lesson for me, because how this soil gets tilled matters for next year. Even though right now I can see over the crest about all the harvest that's happening over there. So my only time with them was lunch, which was on the back of a pickup, came in late at night. You know, like this is the season where you're throwing the headlights on and like going hard. And, but it's super helpful for me. So going back to Chris, you at the beginning of this, just describing what metaphor is, coming out of, from an English teacher slant, a metaphor at the end of the day is a way for us to help make sense of something else. Right. Mm-hmm. So scripture use metaphor, stories use metaphor, literature and language uses metaphor so that I'm able to make sense of something else. Right. So I think metaphors are really helpful, yeah, because when things don't make sense, they help clarify or liken it to something. Right. Or is that a simile? Did I just blow it?
Same thing.
Similar.
They okay. do the same thing.
Yeah. So I think they're super helpful, especially in downcast times or rough seasons. And even also when things are going really well. So yeah, I think they can be helpful.
And it is something that, as you were talking, Dusty, the use of metaphor also engages us. Our engages our imagination and even on an emotional level. And so I'm thinking of when Paul likens our body to jars of clay or earthen vessels. Mm-hmm. I could just say, you know, our bodies are weak, right, but then let me put the image of an earthen vessel in your mind and it starts to fill out and really make right. tangible and even connect with that of, wow, that's frail. So it creates these notions in our mind and our heart that just simple kind of straightforward language can't do. Mm-hmm. And so we start to resonate with ideas and meaning and purpose on a deeper level in many ways.
Mm-hmm. Like the Psalms referring to the Lord as a rock. You mm-hmm. talk about exactly. downcast times, like mm-hmm. that is much more powerful than, you know, God is mm-hmm. there for you.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When it's not so black and white, it's good to have a metaphor to make sense of things that are in the gray areas. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Chris, to what you're saying there too, it helps us. Maybe we need metaphors in life just to be creative, like just to engage our brains in a different way, and to pull us through.
And this is the beautiful thing about God's word, is how it uses metaphor, how it uses creative language. And so I think because we find so much metaphor in scripture, this is probably an encouragement to us to find metaphors, maybe if it's not necessarily one kind of overall overarching metaphor for our life, but at least to think of our lives in metaphor and to think through different aspects. And so while there's no should here, I think there's a strong encouragement, and I think scripture invites us to do that. And it probably will enhance how we think about our walk with the Lord, how we think about God's word, and probably will develop us in some ways.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's conversation. We invite you to join in the conversation. Send us your questions, send us your comments, send us your feedback by tweeting us at Quorumdeo Omaha. We will talk to you again next Wednesday on the Wednesday Conversation.